A quick reminder of how we rate cards here on The Whisper in Darkness. The best of the best get an Elder Sign, while the worst of the worst get an auto fail, and the cards in between get a +1/+0 or Elder Thing respectively. Cards that you build around or cards that go in one particular deck get a Bless token, while cards that we think are bad for the game or destined to end up on the list of taboos get a Curse token. Before we get started, I'd like to thank the patrons of this channel for their tremendous support. It is greatly appreciated. Special thanks to the Persona Music, the latest patron to embrace the darkness. Welcome back to the channel, everyone. We are finally having a chance to dive into the new player cards that were released in the Feast of Hemlock Vale Investigator expansion. Sadly, Nate Lost in Time and Space has decided to step away from the review chair, probably to return to the Dark Void from whence he came. But we are very happy to welcome a special guest to help us with the guardian cards here in the Feast of Hemlock Vale. Welcome, Veronica.
Hey, thank you for having me. I'm Veronica. You might know me from the YouTube channel Until the End of Time. I'm also pretty active on the Mythosbusters Discord server. And I do also have a very small rules-specific server for Arkham, though that one is pretty inactive and mostly gets used to Corel rules questions. But yeah, thank you for having me. Let's talk about some fun cards. Oh wait, we're talking about Guardian. Never mind.
Oh, bring it! Oh, shots fired immediately. I love it.
Well, it is great that you could join us, and we have a whole bunch of Guardian cards to talk about, so we are going to dive right in. The first card is Ancestral Token. It is a 3-cost asset with a willpower skill icon, item, charm, and bless trait. As a response, after you defeat an enemy, exhaust Ancestral Token, add bless tokens to the chaos bag equal to that enemy's printed health, max 5. It has 2 sanity and takes up an accessory slot. It seems fitting that we start with Ancestral Token because it is the card that you got to spoil over on your channel, Veronica.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, well, this one and one of the Seeker cards that we may get to another time. But yeah, I am pretty happy to see Ancestral Token. And I'm actually, this is one of the few cards that we get to talk about today that I have actually seen on the table a couple of times already. And I'm pretty happy to say that I think my review when I saw it, when I previewed it, was pretty spot on. This is not a cheap card in the faction that is pretty resource-starved and tends to have a lot of setup requirements, right? Guardians, they want to play their expensive allies, they need their big assets to help fight enemies. And one of the tricky things with this card is that you kind of want to get it down before you start fighting enemies, but it doesn't actually help you fight the enemies. So if you have an opening hand with, say, a guard dog, a machete, and this, and, say, an emergency cache, you can only play 2 of the cards, and then it's like, okay, you know, am I playing my guard dog first? Am I playing my weapon first? Am I playing my token? You're gonna run into some challenges there. Mm-hmm. But I'm also happy to say that this card is absolutely worth trying to include if you're doing any kind of blast strategy. It has been producing way more blast tokens than I first thought, and we've been playing a pretty wild Sister Mary, Kohaku, Kate 3-player Return to Innsmouth campaign, and this card routinely just adds like buckets of blast tokens to the Chaos bag.
Yeah,
that max 5 on there it's pretty wild.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, because if you assume for a second that, like, let's say every round, and in a multiplayer game, of course, like, if you assume every round it's going to end up adding, like, 3, that's pretty good. 3 a turn. Yeah, I really like how it has sanity, too, because, I don't know, what are the good, like, guardian accessories these days? There's, like, the mirror and...
There like, is the Riot Whistle. Maybe.
Yeah, yeah. And the Riot Whistle is, like... you know, don't necessarily need it because you don't have to be engaged with something in order to like attack it. So you got this. So like, let's say you're playing the Monster Slayer, the primary Monster Slayer, and you play this, you know, and if you slay one thing a turn, then you're gonna get like 2 or 3 blesses a turn, which is pretty good. And then I like how it has a little bit of sanity. So I'm thinking like a Roland Banks, like your typical Roland Banks type investigator. They like having a little extra sanity. So this does that. And it's also nice that, like, I feel like if you lose this to sanity loss, like, you're not too much in the lurch. Because as you say, this you're not leaning on this to kill the enemies. You're using this to generate blesses, right? So let's say you're hitting the end of the game. You take it. You fail your rotting remains. You end up losing this to stay alive. It's not like you've completely nerfed your ability to kill enemies. You could keep doing that. I like this thing.
Absolutely. Okay. And if I may, the other thing that I think is really important to recognize with this card is its impact on the meta, because I think, or the meta is maybe a weird way to say that. Sorry, I've been in competitive brain for a bit doing a lot of Netrunner stuff. But the big thing is coming out of Innsmouth, if you just look at the Innsmouth Guardian card pool, basically none of the Bless cards are great unless your name is Sister Mary, because so struggling for Bless tokens in that first expansion. Uh-huh. And this is basically the perfect cards for Guardian in that regard, because my takeaway is basically Rite of Sanctification is a messed up economy card if you actually just get to play it for 5 tokens, because zero cost, gain 10 resources in Guardian is wild. And so this idea that Ancestral Token lets you play the Guardian Bless cards is kind of why I'm excited for it, because it's not like those cards were completely unplayable. You could play them in multiplayer for sure, and even in like solo you could probably do your off class or something, but Guardian never had this like cohesive Bless strategy that could both add the Blesses efficiently and use them efficiently, and this is a really helping there.
Yeah, I remember that was one of our, like, you know, our sphere. That was one of our issues with Bless and Curse in the Innsmouth Conspiracy, is that it felt like there just weren't enough zero XP ways to, like, actually just get tokens in the bag. Like, Mystic had this problem in particular because, you know, their covenant was all about getting both Blesses and Curses, and they had, like, really no way to achieve that. So any, like, zero cost, any zero XP way to, like, just get tokens in the bag is going to be helpful for, like, your team strategy. But then again, speaking of teamwork, Cameron, you're looking at this thing, and you're probably, I can't see your face right now, but I can imagine you're giving it the side eye, because it's like, but what if I'm all by myself, you know?
Well, I have had a chance to play Ancestral Token, and I was testing it in a parallel Zoe deck, which it does conflict with Zoe's cross, which is a bit of a problem, but first game, I wasn't particularly thrilled with it, simply because of that cost. Three cost is a huge amount in Guardian, and I drew it, and I just never had the resources to play it. And given that I like to go fast in solo, I just didn't want to spend the action and the three resources. But I dropped down to one copy and tried it again, and I think I had filled the bag by turn 6. I had all 10 Bless tokens in there. And
it's a good place to be. Yeah.
This thing did a lot of the heavy lifting. So I think of the sort of Bless suite that they released in this set, between this, Absolution, Purified, and Guided by Faith, I'd say that this is definitely one of the better ways to add blesses, as long as you can kill enemies, obviously. If you're not killing enemies, well, this thing isn't going to do a whole lot for you. But if you're any way decent at it, then this can add, you know, a huge number of tokens very, very quickly. And I was testing with extracurricular activity, because it provides quite a few enemies and quite a few places to grab clues, and I mean, one Yithian was enough to dump 4 in the bag. Plus,
it's true. It's true.
Plus, you get Zoe's bonus for damaging an enemy, so this can fill the bag very, very quickly.
Yeah, Yithian or a Night Gaunt is just a free keep fate, which is pretty wild to think about it.
That's right. And
so I'm pretty excited for this in main class Guardian. The other place where I could definitely see this come up is William Yorick, because Yorick usually has keepsakes, but this also has Horror Soak, so that's not
true. Yeah,
terrible. And Yorick can recur Rite of Sanctification and the Favor of the Sun. I see you losing your
It's just funny. It's just funny to think. Oh, so he goes diving in the trash and he finds a favor.
Yeah, and the other thing is that Yorick can actually run all the Survivor Bless stuff, so Ancient Covenant and a bunch of other pretty cool cards. And Yorick, obviously, as you say, also likes fighting enemies. Don't play this if your Carolyn is not a terrible assumption to make.
Yeah, it's pretty clear. Like, if you're the one in the party who fights the enemies, this looks pretty decent. If you're not, eh. I do also appreciate when Nathaniel Cho has a reason to help the team. Nathaniel Cho can get pretty, very like self-serving, but it's nice when he's able to like he has something that does what he does and he helps the team as well. So that's pretty
Right,
cool.
and I actually like this in Nathaniel because he kind of avoids that problem of having to play the weapon first that I mentioned. Because if you have an opening hand of playing of this and any kind of fight event, you're probably okay to play this turn one, and whatever enemy pops out, you can probably deal with it.
That's true. That's true. He doesn't have to set up like like your gun guardian has to.
Yeah, one
So,
piece of advice I would give is that if you are planning to include this in a Guardian deck, take a second look at your resource curve because this card can throw that out a little bit, and it's something that I had to tweak in my deck just to make sure that I had enough resources to play my weapons and all that stuff as well as this card, and not feel too stretched. How would we rate this one?
I think I'm putting this one at plus one. I considered Eldersign, but I think that ultimately this is a card that only goes in Bless strategies and Bless team composition. You're not just going to put this into any random Guardian deck. If you have no Bless payoffs, then this is still worse than. Honestly, this is worse than a lot of cards, because I just don't think that adding Bless tokens to the bag, like the statistical likeliness of helping it pass tests,
Oh, yeah.
just isn't there. So you want any kind of Bless payoff, and that's what's like, I don't think it's like, I don't want to put it into like, it's a combo card because it's really not. It's a strategy, but it's not like specific combo or anything. But because of that, I don't think I'm just, this is an auto include in every deck. Put it in Eldersign, but I think that if you are doing anything Guardian Bless related, this is the card you wanted them to print. So plus one sounds fair to me for that.
Yeah, I'm also gonna give it a plus one because it seems like genuinely useful. And I don't know, when you're playing like I feel like when you're playing a chaotic multiplayer game, like the psychological effect of having like lots of blesses in the bag is actually pretty decent because it means that's four players who don't have to like overcommit, to stuff because you have blesses that might bail you out. And also when it comes to payoff, like Guardian has their covenant. And I feel like their coven is enough payoff. You spend your 2 XP, and like there's your bless payoff. And that like, so if you do like the Guardian Covenant, and you have like four bless generating cards, then you're in good shape. Plus, like something like this, it sets you up for things like Holy Spear. It gives you a nice something to build up to as well. And it's like that's like six card slots, and you're all set. When it comes to like doing bless, you know what I mean, like. Just you take the covenant, you have like four bless generators, and then it opens up things like Holy Spear, and you're good to go. Yeah, someone also gonna give us a plus one because it's pretty good at what it does. Well, and that being said, the competition for Guardian accessories is like the competition is not so great, so.
I'm going to go plus one as well. The cost does give me some pause, but I have since resolved that in my deck, and it did provide a huge number of bless tokens. And I think of the bless suite of cards that were released in the set, this is among the better ones. And certainly, if you can get it down early enough, you have a pretty good chance of loading up the bag. And then if you're playing somebody like Parallel Zoe, who can spend those blessed tokens to get plus one damage, it works out
Oh, yeah, that's your payoff right there.
it
Yeah.
works out
Okay.
works out pretty well. So
Okay.
pretty happy with Ancestral Token. The next card is Cleaning Kit. It is a three cost asset with a Intellect skill icon item and tool trait, uses three supplies. Supplies on Cleaning Kit may be spent as if they were supplies or ammo on assets you control, and it takes up an accessory slot. What do we think about Cleaning Kit?
Oh, it's wild that we just talked about Ancestral Token and I'm like, oh, the competition for accessory slots is not that great. But then we got this thing. Oh, right, we got to think about
Sorry, if I
that.
may, I don't think the competition is still that high because I don't see myself playing this card. like ever. Maybe that's me being a little bit too down on this card, but I'm okay with extra ammo. I don't think it's the best card in the game, but I think extra ammo, extra ammunition, I believe it is technically called, is an okay card to include. I think it's one cost, one XP, and it is not fast. I'm trying to remember.
Correct. It's like not fast,
This is three costs in the faction that we just talked about, having economy issues. Takes up a slot, and then it gives you three extra ammo. I don't like... And also, most of the best Guardian... Or rather, the Guardian weapons that I tend to prefer don't use ammo in the first place. Guardians haven't gotten a new gun in years, and they're not great. The card that I was first thinking about with this is Fingerprint Kit, but I think there are far better ways to get more supplies on your Fingerprint Kit than this. If it was on assets at your location, so you could use this to help a teammate, then I might be a little bit higher. Or if there was another line of text that we might get to in a little bit. But, yeah, spoilers. I have, in fact, looked ahead. Then, but yeah, as it sits, I just think that this card is... The problem with this card is that it is clumsy, and it also doesn't do anything unless you have another card that can efficiently spend ammo or supplies, which is not a great place to be. The only place I think I can see this is if you are using a restricted card pool, and then you are someone like Wilson, who really wants... So Wilson gets this down for one cheaper, and if you have the chainsaw... Sorry, with Restricted Carpool, I host an event called the Campaign Play Along over at the Discord server, and it's always the core set, the Investigator starter decks, and whatever campaign we are playing. Yeah. And so this chainsaw is in the Stella deck, so you always have access to... chainsaw. I could see a Wilson deck with chainsaw and cleaning kits being a reasonable place, and at that point I'm like, yeah, okay, like it's still like the reason that card that it's interesting is because of the chainsaw, not because of the cleaning kit, but it is at the very least like a card I'm okay to include at that point. But yeah, if I'm paying three for this, I feel so miserable.
Yeah, see, I do see what you mean about like Wilson seems like the dedicated home for this, because it definitely feels like the cost is based on the fact that Wilson gets it for cheaper. So that's kind of an interesting thing. It's like, it seems like it's balanced for Wilson, but everybody else it's overcosted. So I see what you mean there. Although what's extra ammunition? It costs two and gives three bullets. Is that correct? And it's also an accessory slot. Well, that's not too bad. Yeah. I do admit I'm kind of partial to the fingerprint kit. I do like the idea that someone like Wilson can have ammo or supplies as needed for the fingerprint kit and, you know, whatever he's using in his other hand. Like, that's kind of cool. But I see what you mean. It feels... I see why it's there and, like, why it's in this box and, like, what the uses are. I'm just a big fan of the fingerprinter. Yeah. What do you think, Cameron?
Yeah, I think it's interesting that I was taking a look at the decks over at ArkhamDB, and while this is, it seems like it was put in the set for Wilson Richards, the Guardian, one of the top decks, or one of the top Wilson decks over at ArkhamDB doesn't play it, so it didn't even make the cut in that deck, I think primarily just because... the deck builder didn't have a lot of use for it. I think there was only one card in the deck that could use it. So while it seems like it's in there for Wilson, I think you have to take a look at your Wilson deck and actually determine whether there is you're going to get any value out of this. I do kind of appreciate this card because it harkens back to this sort of the old play style where, you know, I've got my gun in my one hand and I've got my flashlight in the other. You know, it was always the issue where it's just like, okay, I'm running low on, you know, flashlight supplies or ammo, so I'm either waiting to draw my second flashlight or my second gun, and this sort of shows up and says, oh well, you know, you can have, you know, supplies and ammo depending on what you need. So I'd be tempted to give that a try in a deck like that, just to see how it works. But I do agree with you, Veronica, that spending three is, again, a tough sell in Guardian when you're already spending a lot just to get your assets down on the table. And unlike Wilson, nobody else is getting this for quite as cheap. So, but it might be, I mean, it would be, I think it would be worth playing around with that deck and seeing, like, okay, if you were to include, say, a flashlight and a gun, can you get away maybe with less? Like, switch up your deck building a little bit to try to put this in there and see if that makes... But
yeah, I like it as a one-of. Because it is zero XP. Yeah. I like it as a one-of. It's like a backstop for, like, when you're running out of charges on, your flashlight or your gun. It's like, this is kind of like your third flashlight and your third gun, kind of. You know, like, so it's one card taking up, like, doing two things. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't think I would play two for sure. I think that would be
like, yeah, and that's the thing, because like, because then you're asking whether the game goes on long enough to need to.
So the one thing also is I've played Wilson, played him through Carcosa, and I'm just gonna admit right up front, I did not particularly enjoy that experience, but also that maybe just have been not the kind of deck that I enjoy playing. But the other part of it is Wilson struggles for card draw so badly. He does not have good ways of drawing cards. And so I think one of the things that I'm worried about is I don't find the card that this is supposed to go with in my opening hand. And then it's just stuck there doing nothing for turn after turn. Well, it could have been any other card and actually do something.
It's kind of this
thought, this thought that I'm having is just like, I mean, obviously, you know, there's a chance that it works out, but I'm skeptical of this card, let's put it that way.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking over the other things that, like, require supplies in particular, because, I don't know, I look at it and I immediately see supplies. And, like, there's some interesting stuff in here that I think works. Oh, and also, speaking of old playstyles, Cameron, you can, you know, the Strange Solution requires supplies. Speaking of old playstyle.
How would we rate this one?
Yeah, I'm going to come out and say it. I think it's actually a zero. Because it's one of those where it's like, I could see how it would go in. I mean, it is zero XP, you know, and that means you're not, like, committed. You're not necessarily committed to keeping it, you know, the whole game. So, like, I feel like it solves a problem that, like, you could end up having, you know, in that you run out. And here's, like, this card that for one slot, it does the same thing as, like, another flashlight or another gun, like, both another flashlight and another gun. I am a big fan of Fingerprint Kit, and I like the idea of getting more Fingerprint Kit charges, because that thing is chonky, you know, to, like, have to draw a second one and, you know, get it out there. Yeah, and it's not a slot that's, like, super obtrusive for the Guardian, so I'm like, I'm gonna give this a zero. I feel like it's a good, like, it's a decent 1x at, like, zero XP. Yeah.
All right, well, you've been talking a lot about how Guardian slot isn't a big cost. To me, it's actually a pretty good big cost, but that's because I put Hollowed Mirror in every deck that can
basically play. Oh, yeah, yeah, that's the problem. You just gotta be, like, Hollowed Mirror, you know.
Yeah, this is a 3 XP. This is not worth 3 XP if I've already got Hollowed Mirror deck. I'm gonna put it in, I believe the tier underneath zero is Elder Thing, or is that minus 5? Where am I at?
That's minus 5. Elder Thing.
I don't know. Whatever. I don't think it's an autofill. Yeah. Is what I'm trying to say. I struggle to find a situation where I'm, like, happy to draw this, even in the deck that I think it's supposed to go in, which is a pretty bad spot for me to evaluate cards. But on the other hand, there are legitimate uses for this card, and I also have to keep a little bit of space for in the autofill tier, because we're going to talk about a couple of cards coming up, and that autofill tier is already going to be quite full.
Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen.
You don't have to wait very long.
I haven't played this yet, and it sort of gives me pause when I do look over at ArkhamDB and I see that one of the top Wilson decks doesn't play this card when it's clearly intended for him. So I'm wavering between zero and Elder Thing. I think I'm going to land up on a zero. It's probably not bad for one copy. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that probably one of the most popular decks over at ArkhamDB that uses this card is using it in skids to fuel the Ivory Bow. So,
the bow. So yeah, there's that. Right. Oh, yeah, that's funny.
And,
right, because that was the old... Remember the old Venturer trick? Because this is basically Venturer, but, like, a little...
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
This is okay. This is all the tricks. instead of for Leo, who gets to play his allies for cheap, it's for Wilson. But yeah, it's
Yeah,
very
okay.
comparable.
It's like the old Venture
So
tricks. Yeah, makes
I
sense.
think I will land on zero, but I could definitely see this slipping down to an Elder thing, depending on my play
Yeah.
experience with it. I think I'd probably start at one copy and go from there. But this is one of those cards that I could see myself drawing and then being like, well, it's three resources and an action, and I may just not end up playing it. So we'll see. But I'll be bullish on it for the time being. If you do like Cleaning Kit, the set does include a level 3 version of the card.
Whoa.
It has an intellect and agility skill icon, same traits. You get an extra supply out of the deal. Supplies on Cleaning Kit may be spent as if they were supplies or ammo and assets you control. And it has a response: when a supply is spent from Cleaning Kit, exhaust it. The performing investigator gets +2 skill value for this test. And of course, it takes up an accessory slot. Is it worth the upgrade?
If you don't like the kit like me, then this is actually good news because they put a version in that I'm actually a little bit excited about. I'm still not like, oh, this is perfect, but getting an extra supply, okay, that's nice. And then that reaction, I don't know what happened to me because I used to think that skill boosts were like the lamest thing in Arkham that you could do, but I think it's just me playing a lot of campaigns that it's like I really like Unexpected Courage now. But I don't like Unexpected Courage, the card. I just like get +2 skill value on the test. Giriske Dakia from Scarlet Keys is one of my favorite allies, despite being a 4xP
Yeah, he's
ally.
really good. Yeah,
Yeah,
he's.
and this is, I mean, this is not Girish, don't get me wrong, but it is getting a +2 to an important skill test. That's pretty nice. I'm gonna admit, when I first read it, I for some reason got in my mind that it was for the entire round using that asset. That's not it. But I still think that, it's everything you could do with the Cleaning Kit level 0, you can do with this. You get one extra supply, and you get 4 stat boosts, assuming you don't spend all of the supplies in the same round, because you have to exhaust the kit plus two. I'm on board with it at that point. I still think that, Hello Mirror, really good card. Hello Mirror level 3, an even better card. But also, yeah, I like stat boosts. I like what this is doing. I still wish it could use for anybody at your location, but otherwise, a lot higher on this card for sure.
Yeah, I like to compare it. I'm looking at this and I compare it to Emergency Cache level 3 from back in Carcosa, because that's like, it's also 3xp, but and it's 0 cost. You can add 4 supplies to something. So it's like, all right, if you just need more supplies, then you probably want Emergency Cache level 3. And I've always liked that card because 4 more fingerprint kit charges sounds good. Yeah. So, okay, so we're thinking like Wilson here. Oh, I see what's going on. So one thing I like about this, if we're talking about like the baseline of Wilson, so Wilson's 3-3-3-3, and I live in 3-3-3-3 land, and one thing I could say is having that +2 every turn is actually like really is very good for 3-3-3-3, especially since like it's flexible which stat it goes on. So like if you really want to land like a fingerprint kit, usage, 2 intellect. If you really want to land an attack, 2 combat. So this is actually pretty good in that regard. So it's like a well-prepared mashed together with like an emergency cache level 3. And I guess one way to look at it is if your deck likes the idea of well-prepared and likes the idea of emergency cache level 3, then this might be the card for you.
Yeah, this one's interesting because I think a lot of Guardian decks would like to have some extra ammo, and this kind of works nicely with a shotgun where you're getting extra ammo and you're getting a skill boost where you can
Oh, that's right.
over succeed with the shotgun. So that's nice. The +2 skill value is always welcome. I just wonder about the XP cost given, the demands on Guardians and how much they have to spend. This one feels like it would take some time to show up in your deck depending on what you're doing. But You know, I think a lot of if you're primarily responsible for killing enemies, having a way to get extra skill and extra ammo is nice. How would we rate this one?
I'm bumping it up to 0. I think what you say, 3 XP, definitely a concern, but especially later on in a campaign when I've already got the core of my deck figured out, I don't think that this card is doing anything terrible. I don't think it's going to make my deck impressively much better, but I also don't think that it's not going to be worth the 3 XP investment. So yeah, I've got it at a 0.
Yeah, I'm going to say 0 as well, because I feel like what it does is it, like I was saying, it mashes together well-prepared and like an emergency cash level, level 3, so which actually like feels pretty decent. I will admit, if you're doing like a full-on Guardian Monster Slayer, now you're starting to compete with Empty Vessel, you know, for the accessory slot, and like Empty Vessel is darn good. So, yeah, that kind of prevents it from being like much higher than 0 for me.
Yeah, I have an Empty Vessel... I have an Empty Vessel story real quick, if that's okay.
Go for it. Yeah.
I'm fairly confident that... So I put Empty Vessel into that Wilson deck that I just mentioned that I took to Carcosa. And I'm fairly certain that I got 3 charges on it, flipped it as soon as possible, and then proceeded to draw 0 symbol tokens for the rest of the scenario other than the autofill, which it doesn't work on. Like, it literally sat... I'm pretty confident I either had 3 or 4 charges on there, and I was like, okay, I'm going to flip this, I'm going to heal some horror, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to pass those tests, and I'm pretty confident I set the same number of charges at the end of the scenario, and I just looked at it and went, what happened?
It's about the psychology. It's just it's the same psychology that we were talking about with Ancestral Token, loading up those blesses, and you don't have to worry about those and you don't have to worry about those symbols. Yeah, it's good stuff. But yeah, back to like the cleaning kit. Yeah, I think I'm gonna stick with 0 on this, because like personally, I've had some good times with Urgency Cash level 3. I see how cool it is. I've had some good times with Well Prepared, and I do like the Well Prepared in the flexible Well Prepared in the 3333 Wilson. So yeah, this feels pretty decent. So yeah, I'm going to go with 0 on this as well. I see the places where this would be cool.
Yeah, I'm going to go with 0 as well. I don't think it's enough to bump it up to +1 on there. There are so many demands now on XP that there's just so many different choices that you can make. And if you're sort of going the traditional Guardian route, this is going to be... It's going to be a long time before you pick this up. If you're going ever vigilant, stick to the plan, big weapon, stuff like that, then this is going to be further down the line. But, you know, it's not making your deck worse, and it's probably making your deck, you know, a fair bit better, especially if you're, you know, toward the end of a campaign and the monsters might be getting a little tougher, having that little extra +2 boost. And some extra ammo never hurts to have. The next card we're going to talk about is the Katana. It is a 4-cost asset with a combat skill icon, item, weapon, and melee trait. As an action, you may fight. You get +2 combat for this test. If you succeed by exactly 2, you may exhaust Katana to deal +2 damage for this attack. As a free triggered ability, you can exhaust the Katana to fight. Use agility instead of combat for this attack, and it takes up 2 hand slots. Thoughts about the Katana?
So you had me up until the very last sentence where you said this takes up 2 hand slots. And then you lost me. Because I actually think that this is one of the best one-handed weapons that FFG has printed in a long time. Only one problem, it's not one-handed. The reasoning being, because it's more than just, card bad because 2 hands. It's actually, if this card took up a single hand slot, it actually has some interesting interplay with other one-handed weapons, where if you're fighting a 3 health enemy, you attack them once with the fight ability, and then with the main ability, and then if you get the exactly 2, you kill him in one swing. If not, you can switch to a secondary weapon, finish him off that way. Mm-hmm. And then the fact that you can exhaust this to get a bonus action, which is a fight for 1 damage, more relevant, I think, than you might immediately imagine. Like, I'm just immediately visions in my mind of Midnight Mask's cultists popping up all over the place, just running into a place rats. And just going, 1 free attack. Really nice, but I don't think this can ever be your only weapon, and I don't like the numbers on this enough to budget for a bandolier, because this thing costs 4 to play. And I could just be putting machete and a Janta blade and, you know, list any number of other weapons. And Vicious Blow is also a really good way of dealing with 3 health enemies, so at that point, why am I playing this?
Yeah, it's interesting that it's 1 and 3. Yeah, I immediately want to think, okay, so how do you deal with the two-handed problem? So there's this type of deck that I'm personally kind of fascinated by. The idea of, like, a Guardian who, like, barely spends any XP on their weapons, but spends tons of XP on and card slots on things like Vicious Blows and Toe-to-Toes and various events and skills that, like, dial the damage as you need. Oh, the fact that it's 1 and 3 is kind of... It's 1 or 3 is kind of weird. Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, it is sort of 2... if you do the first and then the fast ability.
Oh, yeah, but I see what you mean.
Then you have to hit both tests, which is pretty difficult because you have to do an agility test with no boost out of Guardian. But also, talking about that deck, because we hadn't discussed, you know, decks this might go into before, but a friend of mine, this is several years ago now, so I'm not entirely sure when this was, but we played a Circle Undone 4-player, and she brought a Leo Anderson deck that was full of Guard Dogs and Beat Cops and Agency backup near the end of the campaign. And what's the ally from... It's Sergeant Moreau, I think. He's like the big Guard Dog. And she didn't have any big weapons in her Guardian deck. She had, I think, the upgraded Enchanted Blade and maybe a Survival Knife. Hope we remember to put it in there. But you know, that's the kind of playstyle where I think the katana starts making a little bit more sense, because you do have, as you say, that like kind of free or fast ability to deal more damage. But again, like at that point, why are you playing katana? Why not just play a reasonable, like machete is still cheaper to play than this. Mm-hmm. And it is probably, if all you need your weapons to do is deal one damage, then just play machete, because it will at least do one damage. And I don't think that extra plus one combat is that important.
Yeah, I'm thinking of it compared to, like, Enchanted Blade, because Enchanted Blade also does, you know, plus 2 to combat for 2 damage attacks, and that's also one-handed. Yeah, that two-handedness kind of really throws things around. Although, right, Cameron, we've had some chats in the past that, like, two-handed weapons are kind of in a weird design space, where, like, one-handed stuff just, like, is so all-encompassing that, like, two-handed stuff is kind of, like, weird, right?
Yeah. I think in a card pool where machete exists, and basically for all players, that's all card pools since machete is in the core set, this one doesn't look that great. And I know before we were, as we were preparing for this, I'm like, oh, we have to talk about katana. And I'm like, I know you can, you know, trying to succeed by exactly 2 to get the bonus damage. I know you can, there are ways to sort of build around that so you can get the bonus damage, but it's just like, is it really worth jumping through all those hoops just to try to trigger this thing? Anyway, so I sat down and I built this totally janky Lily Chen deck.
Oh, there you go.
That uses katana and uses all of McBride to fish for the exactly 2. And then it uses String of Curses, Read the Signs, and Draw into the Flame, and the combat discipline to get clues. So I don't have to worry about the 2 hand slot issue. And I killed the experiment with it. So.
Oh, hey.
So and that was based on a totally all of McBride fishing for tokens. And I think the only reason it kind of works is because the combat discipline and this boosts Lily to, I think, plus 3.
Yeah.
Boosts her to a 7 over a 4, which I think is a good spot to be in, simply because when you fish for tokens with Olive, you have a lot of latitude there to mix and match the tokens. Mm-hmm. To get you to exactly 2. Now, I would never claim that it was a good deck by any stretch of the imagination, but I mean, the katana did kill stuff, and I did I did succeed by exactly 2 several times during the game. So, and I was never, you know, I was able to gather enough clues to get the job done. So
right, without using your hand slots. Yeah. So here's a thought. Compare this to the Winchester.
I'd rather
that
not.
One is,
Okay, though, first of all, I kind of love that we are talking about all those, because I definitely know that we are going to talk about Olive McBride today, because there's another card that I think deserves a mention of Olive, but this was not the card that I was expecting us to get to Olive. But your Winchester mention, this is indeed, like, it's very similar to the Winchester. It doesn't use any ammo, and it gets that free flight on there, but I think that, assuming we're talking about the Tabooed Winchester, which I assume we are, I just think that there are a bunch of decks that can reliably guarantee that you'll get that plus two damage. And I think that for the Katana, you're asking so much. Like, I appreciate what you're doing with Lily here, because I actually think it's really cool. But also, Lily gets to take 5 level 0 Guardian cards, and you're spending it on Katana? Like, that's... It's you're not exactly selling me on this. That's what I'm saying. But
I'm not trying to sell you on it. it's a terrible idea.
There is no sales pitch there.
It's a cool. I think it's a cool design, for sure. Like, I don't dislike that this card exists, but is there anything here with, like, expose, because that free trigger to get extra actions to, like, expose enemies in the shadows. Is there any guardians that get their agility up high enough to make this worth? I mean, we are going to talk about a way for guardians to boost agility in a bit, so
Oh, right, because there's no bonus something on that.
Yeah, that's the big thing with the agility one. There's no bonus.
Yeah, you're looking at, like, although, you know, schizo tool, two hands, That's funny. But anyways, what's also interesting about this katana is that because it says succeed by exactly 2 and not succeed by 2 or more, like, it's possible to just overswing. Which is, like, kind of hilarious. So I'm thinking, like, you know, you're playing a 5 combat Mark Kerrigan, and, like, you're just gonna overkill the test. Right? Because Mark is at base 7, you know, and then you're gonna... Well, actually, that might be where you want to be, you know, against, like, refight things. And also, Mark has 3 agility, so, hey, what do you know?
How would we rate this one?
Oh, I don't know.
I'm just gonna do it because I'm not a coward. It's an out of fill.
Yeah, this is gonna be something that we all try, and then we're all gonna ask for it to be tabooed upwards, just like the Winchester. I have a feeling that's where this is going.
We were talking before the recording started about the taboo list, and if FFG is going to put more effort in this taboo list, I asked him to not waste time tabooing Katana and put it on, like, cards that we'll actually see play. There are several 4-set cards that I would like to see tabooed before they touch this card.
Yeah, on the other hand, though, the Winchester obviously had enough of a fan base to get itself tabooed upwards, so why not the Katana?
Winchester did work out, I'll give you that.
Yeah, so maybe if they taboo it to, like, succeed by 2 or more, then it would probably be pretty good.
I don't know.
All right, I'll hang out with you guys in autofail land, though. It's because I get it. I like the free action there. That's pretty cool. But just the unreliability, because the problem is you're paying for that. So, all right, how to describe this? It's because the top one, like, you're going to get, like, 1 damage attacks a lot, which is kind of awful. Yeah, because, like, it kind of suffers from the same problem then as, like, the Winchester and, like, Song of the Dead, ones that are either 1 or 3 and you can't really control which. And then it's like, how much effort do you want to put into controlling, you know, how much you get? And then you're starting to get into mystic cards, and then you're talking, like, now you're playing specific builds like Jim Culver with a katana, you know, or something like that, which that might work. But yeah, I'll just stay in autofail land with you. Yeah, it looks fun though, and if it gets tabooed upwards, I'll be very happy.
I am going to give this an elder thing, because hey, it won me a game, so that's worth points. And for some reason, it did work in my janky Lily Chen Olive McBride deck, and I mean, the psychology of succeeding by exactly 2 is pretty cool. It's just like, hey, I killed that whippoorwill for 3 damage. I slayed it good.
I don't know how much we want to talk about thematics, but I feel like the intent behind that exactly 2 on the katana is, like, you're getting it exactly on the, like, sharpest part of the blade. You're exactly cutting through it at once.
It's about precision. Yeah.
Yeah. Which, I mean, that's cool. Also, there is Strongarmed. We'll talk about Strongarmed in a bit. I don't think that changes my opinion on this card, but we'll get the Strongarmed when we get the Strongarmed, which helps this card a lot.
Yeah, I feel as though if you really try to build around this card, it's a trap. You're gonna bend your deck all out of shape. Just, I mean, there's so many easier weapons to work with, and the thing is like, I don't think unless they release like a katana, an upgraded katana, this isn't the weapon a guardian's gonna stick with for a campaign. So there's really no point to trying to bend your deck out of shape to.
Oh, that's right. Oh, you would have been so cool. That reminds me of. Then this makes this even more of an auto fail. This could have finally been the Guardian like researched card, the Guardian side quest card, where you gotta like unlock the spirit inside the katana. Man, I've been wanting a non-seeker research card for like ever. This could have been it. This could have been it. This opportunity blown, FFG. Opportunity blown.
So if you have pretty much any other weapon at your availability, if you've got a machete, if you've got Enchanted Blade,
if you have 45 a knife.
Automatic, yeah, I mean, there's okay, just sorry, so many things you can do. So
knife, it's not one-handed.
It's I was gonna make the joke like knife. Okay, it's not quite knife levels of weapon bad, but it is like. I would play Kukri before I would play this. And that's a pretty damning...
Oh, because Kukri you can control when you get the second damage. That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The final card we're going to talk about in this batch is Ofuda. It is a 2-cost asset with a willpower skill icon. Item, charm, and bless trait. Uses one charge. Replenish this charge the first time a bless token is revealed at your location each round. As a free triggered ability, choose a non-elite enemy at your location and spend one charge. That enemy loses the alert, aloof, elusive, and retaliate keywords until the end of this round. Thoughts on Ofuda?
So, I want to give a quick shout out to Drawn to the Flame. I don't remember exactly who previewed every card, but you know, I'm a big Drawn to the Flame fan. They're the reason I got into content creation, and they previewed this card, and they did a great job, and they also got to tell us what elusive did, which is kind of nice. Plus, they made it look like this card was a picture of a bowl of tomato soup, which is forever going to live in my heart because they released like a blurry.
Right.
They released like a blurry picture, and people were trying to figure out what it was. This is very funny. It's such a challenging card to evaluate because when it does the thing that it does, it might still not do anything because most of those keywords care about. You failing the test, so it's more insurance in that case. So the exceptions there are aloof and to a lesser extent elusive. Elusive doesn't matter if you can one-shot the enemy, but that is not always an option. And there are I haven't played the new campaign yet, so I don't know how tricky the elusive enemies get. I've just played with some of the elusive weaknesses from the investigators, and they are kind of tricky sometimes, but if you can one-shot them, they're not too bad. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. On the other hand, I feel that Retaliate and Alert are keywords that I don't play around enough because they can be really punishing, especially if they're like, you try to hit an enemy last action, you fail, you get hit, enemy phase, they hit you again, and now you're in a really bad spot. The fact that this recharges, actually pretty nice. You don't have, like, it's really cheap for a Guardian S, or maybe really cheap if it is in Federation, but like, it's not expensive. So I'm big on this being a 1x in a lot of my decks for Guardian, especially in bigger player counts, because it's not an enemy. It is an enemy at your location. I almost thought it was any enemy, but still, it doesn't have to be like on test you're performing or anything like that. So it is just a reasonable support card, and you know, you need blast tokens around for this to do or to be useful. I'm gonna throw a question: is this an Akachi card? Because it is slotless and it uses charges. And
ooh, does she have space for that? That's the so my thing about Ofuda is like, who has space for something like this? Yeah, because I gotta admit, like I've noticed with in Arkham Horror that pure utility cards tend to have a really hard time slotting into decks because you tend to run out of room before you find space for utility cards, and this is definitely one of those. I kind of see the usage in like a four player. Because one thing that happens is that in four players, that bosses tend to have they tend to have retaliate, and their health tends to scale really high. And when the final objective of the scenario is kill the boss, like do you like your seeker wants to help, but retaliate tends to be a problem.
Yeah, but this only affects non-elites, and most bosses are elites, so that's not gonna work.
Never mind then. So here's what I'll compare it to. Mind Wipe from the core set, right? Like Mind Wipe, it does the same thing except better, because it clears all the keywords and all the, clears all keywords and all random stuff. Were you playing Mind Wipe in every single deck?
Not in every
Were you
single deck. But I've
were you
definitely played Mind Wipe and
Oh
been very happy to
yeah.
play it.
Yeah, I know Mind Wipe is very much a sleeper. But like think about Mind Wipe. Like
I am, and I'm very happy. You can't see me, I'm not on video, but I'm just
I
picturing Mind Wipe and
Yeah. So
smiling.
I'm just saying, like, if you're like at a high enough plane of existence, if your brain is galactic enough to understand like how good Mind Wipe is, this might be the card for you. But if you're not at Mind Wipe levels of Galaxy Brain, then you're not ready for this card. Yeah, how about that? Yeah.
Yeah, I put this in my Zoe parallel Zoe deck that I was testing. I had one copy in there, and I was playing Dunwich, so there are lots of whippoorwills around. I never did
Oh, there you go.
actually play the card. Again, it was just one of those cards where it's just like it's an action and two resources, and I don't really have the time to play it. But I could see in a if you're playing multiplayer and you were responsible for killing a lot of enemies, and you've got a blessed deck at the table. If you're seeing a lot of aloof enemies and or elusive, again, I haven't played the campaign either, so I don't know how bad elusive is. Retaliate and alert, I don't really worry me all that much, because I think if you're the monster killer, generally you're just gonna succeed at most of the checks anyway, so blanking those two keywords aren't going to really affect you. But aloof and potentially elusive could be bad. So if you're responsible for killing a whole bunch of enemies, and you expect to cycle through the deck and see multiple whippoorwills, every game, it might
Yeah,
be
at least it's slotless.
worth a slot. It is slotless,
Yeah.
and would if Like if it saves you, like you're spending an action and two resources to get this on the table, so I feel like you need to like deal with a whole bunch of aloof enemies and or elusive enemies to really get value out of it. And so from a solo perspective, you're never going to cycle the deck. And even in Dunwich, I think I saw in one game I saw three whippoorwills, and I still wasn't tempted to play this. So I think you really have to get a lot of value out of it. And then it is kind of awkward because you do, to recharge it, you need blesses. So you're either playing the bless deck yourself, or you need somebody at the table playing a bless deck to sort of help you out in that regard.
Yeah, I think in solo this card is really rough because you just don't have the slots and the time for it. But I think, yeah, the biggest secret text on this is that it is secretly saying save an action when you're dealing with aloof enemies. And I think that is the reason I'd want to include this in my deck. And then the rest of the text is gravy. I mean, depends on how much more elusive we'll see in future campaigns. That could be number two, because I think that is a keyword that has a lot of potential damage and horror in it, and I like being able to shut that off. But yeah, I agree with you that like alert and retaliate are the worst two of the keywords here, but they're also, I think, the keywords you're probably going to run into the most. And I have found myself being a little cocky, being a little overconfident, and then blundering into a situation that I should have just played around. But the fact that this is only non-elites does hurt that aspect of the card a lot, where it's not helping you deal with a lot of the worst boss enemies that you'd love to turn retaliate off of.
Yeah, so how do you guys think of this compared to Riot Whistle?
This is
Like,
slotless.
yeah, no, it is slotless. That's the thing. That's what it's got over Riot Whistle. Yeah, but I feel like if you're really concerned about whippoorwills and stuff, and that's your job is dealing with lots of whippoorwills, then just play Riot Whistle.
So Riot Whistle gets better at four or three or four player, where you are more often engaging enemies off of other investigators. And worse in Innsmouth, because all the deep ones, forever.
Engaging is bad.
Yes. speaking of engaging is bad, next card. But I think this card is reasonable. Does a reasonable approximation of the thing you want most out of Ride Whistle, especially in like two or three player, without taking up that accessory slot. So I like it a little bit more, but not a lot more. I would rate it. I think this is a zero for me. Like, it's not a card that I'm ever going to be super excited to be like, oh, this is the perfect Ofuda deck. But also, if it's a one-off in a lot of my decks that have some kind of Bless Energy, I don't see myself being super disappointed by this. One thing I guess we didn't mention yet is that it does say replenish and not add a charge. So you have to spend the charge in order to get it back with the Bless token. So that does require you to be spending this either pretty actively or not get it as much. Which is, I guess, a bit of a trick, but also I'm not... Like, I don't think you can get into a situation where you're using this, like, every turn. And if you are, something unusual is going on. So, yeah, I think I'm okay with this being sitting at a zero. It's not a bad card.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with Elder Thing, to be honest. Because I feel like it occupies one of those spaces where there's already a lot of overlooked cards that you could be putting in those spaces that are utility. And for this one, I feel like you could just, instead of playing a Fuda, just play some damage card, like a damage event. Just play Dynamite Blast, and then there you go. Yeah, Elder Thing, just play Dynamite Blast instead and deal with the problem.
I think from a solo perspective, this is probably going to end up as an Elder Thing, but not having played the campaign and not knowing how impactful Elusive is going to be, I'm going to bump this to a zero for the time being, but I would be prepared for it to drop down to an Elder Thing or just drop out of my decks entirely. I know that Kohaku's signature weakness has both Aloof and Elusive, so this is, you know, a tool you can use that, but I've also heard that he can just one-shot the thing anyway, so he's got plenty of tools already, so he doesn't really need this to deal with it. So, you know, it is a tool that's available to you, and depending on the prevalence of Aloof and Elusive, I think it might be worth a look, but I could also see this just not finding a home. So
just Dynamite Blast the Aloof thing. Easy.
That's going to do it for our look at the first batch of Guardian cards in the Feast of Hemlock Vale Investigator expansion. Let us know in the comments down below what you think. Any final thoughts on this batch?
Ooh, final thoughts. We haven't hit the good ones. Well, no, that's not true. We hit... Yeah. The Bless started off really strong with Ancestral Token, and then Ofuda didn't really have the follow-through, which I think it's going to be true for a lot of the cards in this set, where it feels like the Blessing Curse cards in Hemlock Vale were really designed with Innsmouth Conspiracy in mind, kind of making this a two-parter. But it feels a little bit also that Guardian is just... They've printed the standard weapons, they've printed the regular... extra ammo cards, so now they're printing a little bit more niche cards, a little bit more unusual effects, and it's fun to see them flesh it out, but also they're not the most exciting cards to be talking about.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting that we're seeing like Ofuda in the Wilson Richards set. That is kind of weird. Definitely feels like this is like leftover from Innsmouth Conspiracy, but yet given an Eastern theme. Wow, this is like so incongruent. You got Eastern stuff in the non-Lily Chen set, but it's also Bless in the Wilson Richards set. Although I admit Ofuda, it doesn't even really feel like a Bless card. Like, if it just said Exhaust to do the thing, then that would make sense too. It feels like Bless was kind of tacked on.
I think the reason they both the Eastern team and the Bless can be kind of explained by the fact that this does work with Kohaku's signature, and Kohaku in general has a bit more of a folklore all around the world.
That's true. To him. Yeah, you throw Kohaku in there, and it kind of all makes sense. Yeah.
And again, as we mentioned, it works on his weakness, so that's nice. I don't dislike that.
I don't have many issues with these cards. I think that the one thing I did find interesting, and it's something we'll see in the other batches of Guardian cards, is just how few of them actually work with the Guardian in the box. I'm not sure that's whether that was by intention or by design, but if you bought this box because you enjoy playing Guardian and you were expecting to have a lot of Guardian cards to play with Wilson, I've got bad news for you. Because even the card that is designed specifically with him in mind isn't making the cut. So we shall see. We will be back with the next batch of Guardian cards, so stay tuned for that.